Hello! Welcome back to the Long Distance Love Bombs podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jeremy Goldberg. Today's guest is Aram Arya. This dude is a coach. He's a human design expert. He is a manifesting master. And in this conversation, we go all the way in and around the rabbit holes of life. We talk about spirituality, creativity, personal transformation. He goes into depth around his own spiritual awakening, how to identify your path, intuition, honoring your truth. It's a good one. It's a big one, and it's a fun one. I really do think you're going to dig it. And yeah. And at the end, he offers a surprising tidbit that you could action today, every day, to help you radically change your life and live your truth and change your destiny. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, thanks for being here and enjoy the conversation. So before we begin, I have to tell you about a company that I absolutely adore. And right now they're having a 25 to 40% off sale for all of their products over this long weekend. And if you use the code LOVEBOMBS, you get free shipping on orders over 70 bucks. That's right. Bargains, 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 mate. Company is Cured Nutrition. I literally love them so much that I emailed them and said, hey, will you please sponsor my podcast? And they said yes. If you haven't heard of Cured Nutrition, I use their products literally every day. They are a leader in CBD supplementation. They have an entire line of products designed to take your everyday life to its ultimate potential. If you're anything like me, you might want to get started in the morning with something that jumpstarts your soul. It's why I start my day with Cured Rise. It's their focus supplement. It's a powerhouse blend of functional mushrooms like lion's mane, cordyceps. It's got broad spectrum CBD and powerful adaptogens. It's clean, clear, sustained energy. There's no caffeine jitters. There's no crash. After that, you can take Aura. It's their next supplement. It's got functional mushrooms, CBD, adaptogens, but it's also got vitamin D, prebiotics, crucial antioxidants delivered straight to your gut, which we all know is where your emotional and physical health begins. It's your second brain, am I right? It's the majority of our serotonin production. It's our immune function, and Aura keeps everything in check, performing at its best. And last but not least, Zen. In the evenings, if you have trouble sleeping, you need to get this stuff in your body ASAP. I use it all the time. It's their number one relaxation and sleep product. No more tossing and turning, not with Zen. It has reishi mushroom, ashwagandha, magnesium, passion flower, broad spectrum CBD. This stuff is like the feeling when you get out of a jacuzzi and your body is just mesmerized and stoked and relaxed. It's that. Restlessness, no more. So yeah, Cured Nutrition products are the answer for your daily dose of health. Go to curednutrition.com, C-U-R-E-D, nutrition.com, and be sure to use the coupon code LOVEBOMBS at your checkout. Right now, 25 to 40% off. It's a fucking bargain. Get on that. And use that code at checkout, LOVEBOMBS, curednutrition.com. Aram Arya, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked to connect with you. I'm excited about this. For those who don't know you, though, who are like, who is Aram Arya? I've never heard of this dude. What's your deal? Who are you? What do you do? What are you passionate about?
Yeah, so the short answer to that is I'm a coach and a human design guide. I am engaged in helping people. What I like to say is master manifestation, the idea that there is a secret code to creating what you want. And I help people discover that. And one of my sharpest tools is human design, which is sort of how we met. And, you know, those two things in tandem are what I'm most passionate about and how I'm making a living these days.
Yeah. And when you say that there's a secret code to getting what you want, is that that's a metaphor, or is there some kind of aligned cosmic password that you've tapped into, or both?
I think it's actually both. I think it's actually both in the sense that what I often like to tell people in the world of coaching is that it's really hard to cut and paste someone else's formula for success and expect that you can have success in your life by just going through the motions of following the formula. And that's because everyone has a little different way of accessing their genius. So what I attempt to do for myself, and the idea that I'll offer you, is that really coaching is about attuning you to you and not the other guy. So if you're in tune, if you're in the flow state, intuitively, you're really good. You're already kind of amazing and kind of a genius. So what if we can access the flow state more often in a conscious way?
I don't know. What would happen? So you're suggesting the conscious flow state is that akin to intuition or your inner truth? Is that authenticity? Is it spirituality? Is it?
Yeah, I think for me, I define the flow state as equal to creativity, as equal to spirituality. So my offering is that the flow state, creativity, and spirituality are all the same thing. When you're in the flow, you have access to creativity. When you're in spirit, you do things intuitively. You sort of forget about time. You forget about judging yourself. You forget about what you should or should be doing, and you're just doing, you're just being. And if we can align you to you, that's just another way of saying, like, the whole spiritual path in general is all about aligning you to you.
I like that. I think it's also related to this idea of like, be cautious of coaches who tell you what to do in terms of what you should do with your life, in terms of the decisions that you should make, rather than offering questions and making you discover your answer. Is that
precisely
fair?
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, I think we're all carrying a certain amount of conditioning, you know, from influential people in our life to this point. It could be our parents. It could be, usually it's our parents from early ages, but it could be other influences that have come along and told us we need to do X, Y, and Z. And then because we have or we haven't, we have a lot of judgment around what we've achieved or not. So a lot of people that come to me originally, or, you know, in the first place, are coming because they want to achieve more. Mm. But in understanding what they want to achieve, then it opens the door to the spiritual aspect that may be missing, how to access the zone and the flow state that may be missing, and also, obviously, the heart stuff, the deep healing, and the opportunity to heal so that we can let go of some of those conditioned identities that we've brought with us to this point. Mm.
All right, man, we're straight down the rabbit hole, and I dig that. And I also want to know who you are and how you got to this place, because I know we had a conversation a couple weeks back, and you alluded to having some kind of a former life path in which you were a different dude, and then something occurred, and now you're a healer who's tapped into the psyche of the universe. Right?
Kind of, so, yeah. The joke was on me. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you mind sharing that path a little bit? Because I'm always fascinated with change in general. And in particular, I'm really intrigued by personal transformation. Mm. And I know a lot of people listening are listening because they want to learn more. Maybe they want to achieve more. And everybody's path is so different and unique that those stories, I think, can be really powerful. Mm. If you don't mind briefly sharing your path and what happened and what it taught you, and then we can continue our jaunt down the rabbit hole.
Does that sound all right? Of course, absolutely. I think what I'll offer first is to say that, you know, a couple of years ago, I had a spiritual awakening on the magnitude of something I could have never possibly imagined. I, in a kind of very Buddhist way, super long story short, I went through a series of traumas and events where I had my previous life forfeited, given up, destroyed in some pretty spectacular ways, including eventually even my identity. And what that was replaced with was a spiritual awakening, a new identity, a new name, and a mission to help people, a mission to help people with their own personal transformation. And, you know, I've only told about 10 people what actually happened in all of the details when I went through some of these spiritual experiences. And what I've learned is that, you know, the more I talk about that, then that kind of becomes the story. And I love talking about that because there's a lot of really wild stuff in there. But I'd encourage anybody who's really going through something to really understand that whatever you've been through, it's about what you've gleaned and what mission you're on now, as opposed to what happened. That's been a tough one for me, but I know that what it means, I know that the mission I'm on now is sort of what people need to hear, as opposed to, you know, did I encounter angels and aliens and, you know, out of body experiences and all that stuff happened. But at the end of the day, who cares? Who cares? Like, what we're here to do is focus on what's in front of us.
I mean, I care.
yeah.
But I think I agree with you, and I respect the boundaries around. You were living a life, a bunch of wild shit occurred. A bunch of insights arrived, potentially an opportunity or 12 presented themselves, which I imagined at the time was quite quite intimidating for you. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that, actually. So you're living a normal life. Suddenly, spectacular things occur from the universe with or without your intention. And you, I imagine, are at a fork in the road in some way, being called to do this different life entirely while not being there yet.
Totally. That's a great way to describe the insecurity that I felt in knowing that these shifts in consciousness were happening, but not quite sure where. I didn't have a map, you know?
Yeah.
So here's what happened kind of when my life really began to transition. So it's 2012. I was in my early 30s. I was working a job. I was an industrial designer. I had a wife. I had a house. I thought that I was on my way in some ways. Like, things are just about to start to make sense. And then I lost my job. I then began to have these really weird health symptoms. I began to get really sick in these bizarre ways. And I went to different doctors. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I had incredible fatigue. I had trouble breathing. It was really scary for a while. I started to look like, you know, an old man. I looked like Benjamin Button or something. I was clearly sick. And I was also experiencing brain fog and mental problems for the first time in my life. So about a year later, we figured out that my house was infested with toxic mold. And I had been poisoned over the last year by being there. And I learned that I was more susceptible to toxic mold in terms of sensitivity than other people. My wife at the time was not as sensitive, so she got sick, but not nearly as bad as me. So what I wished had happened at that point was I wish that my house had just burnt down instead, because that would have been way easier for this next part of the journey that I was about to begin. So what happened is, from this experience, I became sensitized to toxic mold, which meant that for that point in my life and going forward, if I encountered small, even relatively not so bad environments that had certain types of toxic mold, my body would have a reaction to it. And it made it very difficult for me to find places to live. So that was this beginning of this split where I started to live this double life. I would hold down different jobs. My marriage eventually fell apart. I developed a fully blown PTSD. I was really messed up. And what the bizarre thing that started to happen is that I felt like the mold was somehow following me. I would move to different places. It just seemed like mold was wherever I was, there seemed to be mold. And it became this really frightening lesson of encountering an alternate reality that other people were not privy to. And as I began to, like, I was sometimes holding down a job and showing up and, doing my thing. And then it was like triage in my physical life, because I was moving or I was living in my car sometimes here and there in between places or staying with friends. Mm. So that went on for about 7 years, where I would have ups and downs. I would have periods where things were back to normal, and then periods that were not, I was sort of living on the edge. But I was, the wild thing that I'm trying to describe here is that on the one hand, I'm living in the city life, behaving as a normal person to keep up appearances and to, keep a job. And on the other hand, my personal secret life is destroyed. Mm.
So there was a big dissonance between your truth and how you were living in the world, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I love all of that. I pictured when Spider-Man gets bit by that spider and all of a sudden becomes crazy superhero guy. It's almost like you were toxic mold man and you've awakened this newfound superpower of sensitivity and a trajectory also that altered the course of your life.
Exactly. There's a couple of ideas that I encountered right before things started to shift. And one was the scariest idea that I had to wrestle with was that all of this might be happening for a reason. And that scared the shit out of me. But what I came to understand was that all of that years of dissonance was non-attachment training. So if you want to talk about, to me, the granddaddy of all spiritual lessons, the biggest leap that you may ever have to make is the one of non-attachment. And that's what trained me to be able to honestly say and hold that teaching. Honestly claim that teaching. Then what happened in again, just a sort of myriad of synchronicities is I found plant medicines. And I had I had done plant, you know, I had eaten mushrooms a few times as a teenager. You know, I had used drugs recreationally here and there through my 20s and 30s, but I never really thought about them. I never really thought about what they were for or where they came from. So, you know, where we are right now, which is so cool, is that, you know, psilocybin and MDMA are fast track to be legalized as breakthrough therapies by in 2021 and 2023 for PTSD. So I didn't know any of that. And when I started to attend these plant medicine ceremonies, something really massive shift. Something massive started to shift. And I began to realize in the few months and years to follow that I was healing. And then I began to have spiritual experiences that were at first only accessible in altered states, but then has started to happen in my waking everyday life. And, you know, that's when the change of my name, I'll tell you this quick story about my name change. So my given name is John. And if you think about your name, it's kind of like this. If I say Jeremy, right, there's this kind of this thing, there's this resonance that runs through your body. You're like, ah, that's me. And there's kind of this response. So one day someone said my name back to me and nothing happened. Like the name John, like went right through me and it rattled around in my body and nothing happened. And while I recognized the sound of it, I didn't recognize it as me. And it was the most bizarre experience I can possibly describe to you when your name doesn't sound like who you are all of a sudden. And at that point, I knew that a major shift was coming.
How did it feel? I mean, were you scared? Were you excited? Were you?
I was astonished.
It's like, what's going on here?
It was just kind of total astonishment that somehow I knew that my name was going to be changing, but I didn't know what it was going to be changing to.
And then how did you stumble upon Aram?
Yeah, in the wildest of ways. So I had a dream. You could say it was a vision, but it was in sort of a semi dream state when I was waking up one day. And I'd been kind of clairvoyantly hearing something for a while, and it sounded like Aaron or Ron or something starting with an A. And I had a pretty amazing vision, and in that vision at the end, my name was spelled out for me, Aharam. And in that moment, I knew that was my name, but I had no idea what it meant. So what I did as I woke up, pulled out my phone and I immediately Googled it. And that's how I actually work with a lot of things I receive sometimes, is I just Google it. Yeah. And so I put it in Google, and what pops up? Pyramids. In Egyptian and several other languages, it literally means pyramids. In Farsi, it means peaceful. So it has a, you know, Eastern origin with a lot of different meanings, similar to those.
And so then you're like, all right, I'm just going to change my name.
It's really funny. I have a family member, and he said something funny to me one time. He's like, you know, John, you've chosen a really difficult path, you know? And I was sort of like, I didn't choose this. I have no choice.
The path chose me, bro.
Yeah, it chose me, because the wild thing is like this. It's like, imagine doing something that is so contrary to your true nature that it just like hurts, right? That's what it would have been like to continue being John. It literally caused a physical discomfort and almost pain. Whereas Aram has this resonance in me that that's just me. That's just who I am.
Yeah. I feel like I pronounced it poorly a moment ago, so I apologize.
Yeah, no worries.
Aram, did that land?
Nailed it.
Yeah, and I love how you said a few minutes ago how it would have been easier if your whole entire house had just burned down. Yep. Like that would have been the easier path, would have been complete destruction of home, right? Maybe you could speak to some of the ways that you have faced that uncertainty or continue to do so. Because I imagine that the name change certainly was not the end of the progression. It was merely a step along the path, right? And then
that's right.
There would have been more serendipitous epiphanies or realizations of truth that you could not ignore or avoid, so to speak. And so how did that teach you? How did that, like, what did you learn from it?
I know that part of my mission now is to frame up what a spiritual awakening might look like so that if it happens to you, you'll be like, oh yeah.
Oh, that's right. What that was.
Wait a minute. Because having a spiritual awakening it's kind of like, I thought of this way of describing it to someone the other day. It's like, imagine you're 12 and you're having 12-year-old thoughts and you have a 12-year-old body. And then the next day you're 18.
You have a beard.
And you have a beard and you know 18-year-old thoughts, but you don't have any experience of being 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Mm. You're just there in a kind of new hardware with some new tools and new awareness. And there you are.
You know what I just thought of? Have you seen that Tom Hanks movie?
Big? Yeah, that's one of my favorites when I was a kid.
So if you haven't seen Big, it's an old one, but he like rubs a genie or something and switches bodies from a child into an adult. And he's doing exactly that. He's trying to figure it out. It's like, yeah. Doesn't know how to talk to women, doesn't know how to go to a cocktail party, like all the things. And so you basically cannonball it into the deep end, so to speak. Like skipped a couple levels.
Exactly. And, yeah. You know, and I've talked to other people who've had, you know, look, having a spiritual awakening is not the wildest thing in the world, actually. It does happen to people. I was just totally ignorant about what to expect or what it might look like. I considered myself a spiritual person my whole life, but I never had any beliefs, really. I was brought up Protestant. I went to church until I was 12. I basically became an agnostic from that point forward, and I got my spirit from nature, you know, just being in nature. But what I'll tell you is that this path of transformation, yes, there are certain huge peaks, there are pivotal moments where, you know, things upgraded or changed, but there's a lot of other important steps along the way. There's a lot of other shifts. So sometimes I look at my spiritual awakening, I'm like, yeah, it was about a year and a half. And other times like, yeah, well, it's really 6 months. And then yes, there was about 3 months. And there was that one thing, but then it keeps going. And what I'll tell you about committing to a spiritual path, whether you're called to it or whether you're doing it intentionally, is that the spiritual path is about taking what you've learned and continuing to apply it relentlessly to yourself. And as you do that, you realize that there's okay, well, maybe I'm 98%, great, but there's still 2 more percent. And when you realize the first percent of the remaining 2%, oh my God, what's available to you in that last percent is a whole other awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way that I've looked at that is in terms of like a tennis player, let's say. Mm. And when you say your first day of playing tennis, your first day of holding the racket, and you don't know anything about tennis, and you're with an instructor, and they're like, this is how you serve. And you're like, oh, a serve. Like, what's a serve? And you learn so much so quickly, right? And perhaps if you continue to do that every day for a month, you will be a drastically, noticeably better tennis player, right? If you do it for 2 years, same. However, you get to this place like Serena Williams or all the greats, the great of the greats, the experts. And if they spend a month playing tennis, they won't noticeably get better. So I guess what I'm trying to say is once you get to that 98 percentile, just to get to that next 1% is not as easy as when you started. It takes significant amounts of effort and discipline and focus and commitment. And then you get the glory. You win the tournaments and you get the Nike contracts and your whole life, your life changes, right? Or another way, I guess, to look at that is the swimming guys at the Olympics. The difference between first and fourth is like 0.02, which is not a lot, but those guys or gals have vastly different lives. I don't know where I'm going with that, Aram, but I would be curious.
Well, what I got from that is the word purpose. It's like if you're already really good at something, which I believe everyone is, whether you're aware of it or not, I do believe that everyone has unique genius. Not just genius potential, but real genius that's ready to come out, ready to be exposed in different ways. It just may not be what you thought it was going to be.
What but you if you want it to be.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be that.
Like, oh, well, you're a genius at, you know. Yeah. And I encounter that a lot in, that's particularly using human design as well, is showing people where their true genius is. And sometimes it's not where society says it should be, you know? But anyways, I digress. When you're really good at something or you've become good at something, the only thing that is gonna whet your appetite to keep going is purpose. It's what's your mission with what you're doing? Because once you've achieved, you know, for peak performers particularly, once you've achieved X, Y, and Z, you know, what's left? Well, the only thing that's left is your love of what you're doing.
How do you help people discover their purpose? And I recognize that's a very broad, generic question, so feel free to take that wherever you'd like.
I believe that purpose within the constructs of, let's just say, our society is impossible to find for a lot of people, because what they may have been conditioned with, you know, with an identity as, oh, this is who I am in my career, this is who I am because of my family, this is what I have to do, I absolutely have to do this to make money or to survive. Trying to find your purpose within those constructs may not work. A lot of people are like, great, so what do I do? Great, so what career should I have? Just tell me what to do, right? And that's what makes the work that we do, I think, such a big opportunity for people, because what we're really trying to do as spiritual beings, I believe, is discover our purpose irrespective of our environment. to discover what we love to do and make our life about what we love to do. It's really that simple. But that is super hard to wake up to when you've got the fast-paced life that we live in, with all of the responsibilities that you've either agreed to or were obligated to do.
Or all of the relationships and peer pressure and societal norms and cultural expectations that are also offering opinions and ideas of what you should, quote unquote, be doing with your life, yeah. Right? And so a lot of the work that I do with people is similar to you, I imagine, helping them uncover what they really desire, unpacking the stories, identifying the beliefs versus the truth. How does the human design element fit into all of this stuff? And let's assume a lot of people listening might not know exactly what human design is. They might know the phrase, but if you could give a little
succinctly, tutorial. Right? Yeah. So this one is a whole other rabbit hole. So succinctly, what I believe in my experience is that human design is the most powerful tool available to know yourself. What it is a system of self-understanding that is coded the moment you were born. So there's an astrological component to this based on the time you were born, which says you were coded this way with certain characteristics that you have for life. So in a spiritual, since we're on the spiritual tip, this is how I explain it to spiritual people, is that I believe, because here's the thing, you don't have to believe anything to benefit from human design. That's what's so cool about it. It shows you some amazingly poignant things about yourself that you really can't deny. And it shows you how you should be making decisions with your body intelligences instead of your head. That's where the rubber really hits the road. But what is it? Okay, so I believe that your consciousness is spiritual. So I believe that your consciousness does not reside in your brain and is not a product of your brain. Your body is what your spirit inhabits. Your body is what consciousness inhabits and gets to play with. Your human design is the software interface. So you have your consciousness, your spirit, operating this body, maybe really efficiently, maybe not so efficiently. But when you understand your human design, when you understand how you're coded, you can drive this body as it was meant to be driven. And this is the surrender part. So if you ever wanted to surrender to who you really are and start behaving as you were designed to be instead of how you've been conditioned to be, human design gives you some amazing insight and tools to be able to do so. Hmm.
The visual that came up for me is like, if everybody's life or body is like a Ferrari, but you don't know how to drive, you don't know how to drive a stick shift. And so you're kind of cruising around in first gear your whole life. And then someone is like, hey, can I show you how to use that thing? And you're like, oh, okay. And suddenly you have new ideas or information to help you make the most of what you got. Is that fair?
Totally. Right on point.
Yeah. And so we're all encoded with a, what do you even call it? Like a plan, a blueprint.
Think about it. Yeah. People use blueprint. I think about like a, you know, like a set of on off switches, you know, like if you've ever seen a circuit breaker or, you know, even a old school computer or even like, I often visualize like a graphic equalizer, like a soundboard mixer, you know, and from the music industry. And it's just like the dials are all sort of set a certain way. Mm-hmm.
And then the work of human design is to help decipher or decode what all those dials are. Or is it more to say, look, here's what your dials are doing and here's how to make the most of it.
Exactly.
It's that.
The latter, because what I like to tell people, and this isn't blowing smoke, I really honestly, truly believe this. I really believe that we are all intuitive, unconscious geniuses in our own way. And the idea is, if you could get out of your own way and just be who you are unconsciously, you really love yourself. You really are amazing at manifestation. You don't worry about what other people are saying about you or what you should or shouldn't be. You're just being. But there's different keys and locks for different people about how to access their genius. And that's what makes your design so unique and specific to you. It's your personal operating manual, nobody else. I like to say, nobody can be you quite like you.
Which is why nobody can give you the advice that you need, is because nobody will ever understand exactly what's going on inside of you. Is that fair?
Exactly.
Okay, so stepping that up to the next point around manifestation, I'd be intrigued to learn what you see as manifestation. Like, what is it? Because it's thrown around so much in this space of like, just manifest some abundance and, life will be sweet.
Two of my favorite words, manifestation and abundance, right?
Yeah.
Totally. So what does it mean? So to me, manifestation means that you have done it. You have brought it into form. There is no doubt that you did it. It's plain for everyone to see that you have done it. It's real.
Mm.
You realized it. You made it. You did it.
You've turned a dream into a memory.
That's right.
Okay.
So the idea in a cosmic sense is that if you can really imagine something you want to do, something you want to achieve, something you want to be, something you want to feel, when you focus your mind on that, it is actually real. It's real because how else could you be imagining it, right? Think about it that way. If it's real, right, you can imagine it. If it's not real, you can't imagine it. It's not in your realm of possible reality, unimaginable. But if you can imagine it, it's real. So the idea of manifestation in a spiritual sense is you take the realness of that vision and bring it into form.
By
snapping your fingers.
By lighting some sage and humming, right?
Yeah, just humming, singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's how it works. The idea is
to cut you off. Yeah, maybe I would love to hear an example from your own life where you had some wild vision, and then the voice immediately comes in of like, you can't do that. That's impossible. Mm,
yeah.
And then you, like, how do you work through this kind of stuff?
That's a great question. a bunch of examples from my own life popped up. When I talk about this, I talk about it in terms of one day before I became a coach. I am still involved in a men's organization that is all about leadership development with men. And it dawned on me one day before I became a coach that, oh, wow, I'm actually really good at this manifestation thing. And the reason I knew I was good, I was said, you know, everything I've ever really dreamed for in my life, I've done. Every dream that I've really, really, really wanted, I've achieved. And my achievement may not have looked like what I set, you know, what my original goal was, but it was either spot on or so close that I was like, wait a minute, I think I might have something here. So I began to go back through some of my intuitive processes through my life. I'm trying to pick a good one. So when I was a teenager, you know, I played a lot of sports in my teenage years and in college. I was in love with Nike commercials as a teenager. They were so inspiring to me. And I didn't know what industrial design was, but I saw these, you know, really cool Nike shoes at the store. And I sort of like had this idea of like, well, if those exist, these really cool shoes that I like to wear, then somebody must be designing them. Why can't I design them? So I started to tell people here and there, I was like, well, I think I want to, like, what do you want to do with your life? Well, I think I want to design shoes for Nike. Like, what? You must be crazy. So I started down this career path for almost 20 years as a product designer, where my job was to create really cool product experiences. And I got into the outdoor industry and I made backpacks and I did a lot of stuff for outdoor travel. And eventually I worked for a company that had a license with Nike. And eventually I got to design some products, some running products for Nike. And it took me almost 20 years. But I did it because I just had this intuitive dream that if I was going to be really good at this, then someday it would be worthy of Nike. It didn't happen how I thought it was. I got rejected from all these shoe design jobs. I was not good enough to be a shoe designer when I started out, not even close. And I never actually ended up designing shoes. But what I realized is that to me, the whole key to manifestation is conviction. If you want something, there has to be no doubt. And if there is no doubt, I guarantee you can achieve whatever you want.
So how do you channel that, mm-hmm. or how do you embody that mm-hmm. doubt-free knowing? I suppose it goes back to what we mm-hmm. talked about earlier of the inner truth, the consciousness of spirituality. There's a mm-hmm. path that we have to step on and step toward.
Mm-hmm. But it depends what you want to manifest, because it depends how difficult it is. Like if I always wanted to dunk a basketball. You know, I never quite did that. So look, there are limitations, okay?
Yeah.
You know, there are limitations, and it does depend what your dreams are, but it's hard to explain what must happen for a person to make a decision to change. I think about this when I work with addicts. You know, even going through my own history of PTSD, when I had to make some choices that I was either going to go choose this path in life or that path in life. It's kind of like that. And it's really hard to manifest things if you're in your own way. Like if you have really low self-esteem, well, that's the first thing. We've got to get you to love yourself like you've never loved yourself before first. Mm-hmm. As a way of circumventing your negative self-talk, or else manifestation is not going to work for you.
Yeah. I like this idea also, and I'd be curious for your perspective on it, that the way I describe it is that hearts change their minds. So you may have had a dream, without a doubt, you're going to design shoes for Nike. And maybe you would have gone 10 years and suddenly you meet somebody or you do something, and all of a sudden your brain, everything in your body is like, I'm supposed to go raise goats in Venezuela. Like, that's my new path. Is that fair? I mean, how do you?
100%.
Address? Yeah.
100%. The worst thing you can do is become fixed in your thinking. the more fixed you become, the more exposed you become to trauma.
Keep going on that. What do you mean?
The more fixed and rigid you are in your beliefs, your definitions, in your awareness, the more you become closed off to opportunities that are going to present themselves to you. So, you know, a lot is made of, like, you know, you're talking about manifestation, abundance, the law of attraction, right? Yeah, the law of attraction is a real thing. It is a real thing. And the way I would, what I offer in this is, like, when you're you, when you are vibrating and exuding the presence that is uniquely you, and it's inspiring, and you love yourself, and your energy, you know, you don't have to be outgoing. You don't have to be something you're not. But when your energy is on point, in the flow state, that's when opportunities present themselves to you, because they're attracted to your vibe. And then you can choose whether to say yes or no. And people who become fixed in their beliefs, and it's in particular their limiting beliefs about themselves, that means I'm closed off to new opportunities that may be presenting themselves and wanting me to shift.
And I suppose it invites that resistance of, no, it's not supposed to be like this. I expressing intense disappointment for not getting a job or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something. There's a devastation rather than a fluidity or acceptance of, like, well, this is just how it's supposed to be. Is that fair?
In general, yeah. In general, I think it's fair. I'd say the only thing I'd add to that is, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be for now.
For now.
Don't ever give up. Don't ever compromise on what you know or what you believe is possible. You might be stuck right now. And there's no denying that you're stuck. And there's no denying that your life sucks right now. And it may continue to suck for now.
I interviewed this somatic therapist. I don't know if that's the right phrase. Nicole Lowe's. And she describes it as life as being a flow state, like a river. And that occasionally there's these little vortexes of trauma or distraction that get us in a pattern where we get stuck for a while, but we only stay there so long as we forget that we are the river itself.
That's right.
It sounds a little bit like what you were describing there. Like, yeah, you're just in a little vortex and it sucks. And that's fair. And it's also going to end at some stage, and trust the process. Don't give up on yourself. Keep going.
I often remind people that if you're going through a tough time, you know, you're going through depression, you're going through some melancholy states, these are often, this is like what I call the rock star medicine, because these depressed, melancholy states are often our most creative, our most transformative, our most filled with insight from everything that's going wrong. And guess what? The rock star will take that and then turn that into a song. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song.
And just to add to that, like, ironically, the depression may have arisen because he can't write any song. And he just got kicked off his record label because there's not a hit single, right? And he just leans into that and suddenly it all works out. What am I not asking you about that I obviously should be asking you about? Like, what's the thing that you really believe deeply or are supremely passionate about, or that you wish the whole world knew, that we haven't touched on?
Yeah. What does the whole world need to know?
Yeah, in terms of creating a life of their dreams and in terms of embodying who they truly are.
I think one of the things I'll offer is, you know, back to a secret code to manifestation. Now, this is true for everyone, but I think it's particularly true for men too, is, you know, I want to offer this idea that your gut feelings have never been wrong. And there is validity in your emotions. And there is a process in your body that you can trust. You can trust the information that's coming through your body. If you're not drinking uncontrollably, and if you're not eating terrible foods, and if you're getting your sleep, yeah, take care of yourself. But if you're taking care of yourself, maybe the information that's coming through your body is right. And maybe it's your head. Maybe it's your mental concepts. Maybe it's how you think about yourself that needs the upgrade. And your emotions are not a problem.
That's really good.
Go ahead.
No, please continue.
I want to invite people to trust the wisdom that's in their body. I want to, you know, one of the teachings of human design is about, it equates spiritual awareness and breath and truth as three-sided coin, you know, three sides of the same coin. What? Those three things, spiritual awareness, which is prana, breathing, and emotions and truth. Those things together will, I guarantee, if you give it enough time, be an amazing compass for you. If you realize that there is a legitimacy in having to go through your emotional process to get anywhere, you can trust that. You can trust that.
Are there, like, if you had to give one specific daily practice to begin this transformation, what do you suggest people do? So someone listening right now, it's like, I really like this dude. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but like, what can I actually do in my life day to day to start living this way?
It's a great question. I think it's a combination of, I honestly believe that everybody needs to be moving a little bit. You know, physical activity is a requirement to shake loose, you know, how your body is talking to you. But I think the simplest one is actually prayer. And I was talking to one of my teachers the other day about this, and, you know, I grew up going to church, and I was talking to him, and I sort of realized, like, I was like, you know, my parents never like told me how to pray. They weren't like, pray this way, say this, don't say that. But I honestly believe that words create reality. I honestly believe it. It's so simple. It's like the simplest teaching that's in every major religion. Words create reality. So if you can speak and focus on your intention, ask for help, ask for what you want, ask for what you need. I honestly believe that alignment to asking for help, to stating what you want, will help call it into being.
I love that, man. I would not have bet on the word prayer when you answered there, but I think that's a really succinct, and also it's very practical. Like, it's free. You can do it, you know, you can do it anywhere. You don't necessarily have to buy a course.
I'll tell you another piece of that just sort of came to me that I say all the time. It's so easy to forget, right? And I fought this one tooth and nail in my life until I had to surrender to its utility. And that is positive language. The idea is, if you try to use negative language to manifest what you do not want, it will not work. It's guaranteed. If you say, I want to be inspired to eat right and stop drinking. Okay, you can't manifest stopping drinking. You can only manifest replacing that with what you want to do.
I don't want to be sick all the time.
Right. Pray, please God, I don't stop being sick. God will be like, well, stop being sick. What do you want? So replacing what you'd like. So that's why, God, I would like to pray for health. I want my health. Praying for your health instead of praying to not be sick is night and day. So I'd invite you to find those negative things in your life that you want to stop doing and figure out what you're going to replace those limiting beliefs or those bad habits with, and pray for that.
Yeah. May I share an odd vision that just came up for me? I imagined Santa Claus. I imagined Santa Claus getting a letter in the mail from like a 6-year-old, right? Asking for what they want for Christmas. And the list says, I don't want to be bored. I don't want to have an empty toy basket. I blah, 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 blah. And Santa being there like, bro, like, give me
throw me a bone.
Throw me a fucking bone, Johnny. Like, do you want a train? Do you want a giraffe? Do you want some Transformers? Like, be specific. Like, help me help you. It's kind of the same vibe that I think I heard through you of like, you gotta ask for what you actually desire rather than rejecting what you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. I'm conscious of your time and energy. We've been on for about an hour now. Where can people find you? Do you have a website, for example?
Yeah, the simplest place to go is my website. It's my name, aramarya.org. That's aramarya.org.
And all the goodies live there. And if you're listening and you missed that, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can just click it and away we go. But brother, thanks so much for who you are and what you've done. I really appreciate you opening up about your life as well at the beginning. And I think it's a privilege to hear your story, and I'm stoked to know you, and I'm glad that you've found your path, and I'm intrigued to have you back in a year or two and see what the heck you're doing.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
That was interesting. Interesting, right? Wild dude. Lots of lessons, lots of insights. His name is Aram Arya. You can find him on the internet. I've included a link in the show notes. Other than that, happy praying. Happy abundance manifesting. Happy spiritual awakening to you. And thank you so much for being here. I really do sincerely appreciate from the bottom of my heart and soul that you're listening to my words right now. It's meaningful and it gives me a job, which is nice also. And it helps me to spread a positive impact in the world. And I'm really passionate about that. So thank you for your contribution. Thanks for being here. And feel free to share this with anybody that you know and love, somebody that might appreciate the messages therein. And I appreciate the 5-star reviews, all of it. You're great, you're wonderful, and I'll talk to you soon. Go be awesome, you know? Go be fucking awesome.